Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we're going to be studying together from the Gospel of John. This book is one of the four Gospels. Every book, of course, is written by God in the New and the Old Testament. Everything is inspired by God. Every word of every book is put down by men, but through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But each of the books has a different purpose. And I'm especially concerned with the purposes of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is unique and different from the other Gospels because it emphasizes the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just His miracles and not just His practical teachings, but it also is emphasizing who He is and His real purpose in coming into the world. So this purpose of salvation is very important for us to understand. Now, we understand as we study the New Testament that there are other books also dealing with these two subjects. For instance, if you were to study the book of Romans deals with the deity of Christ, and it also deals with His salvation. If you study the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 to 3, Colossians, chapters 1 and 2, Hebrews, almost the entire book, you'll find some of the same teachings are brought out in these books. But the Gospel of John especially concentrates on these two subjects alone. In other words, it doesn't deal as much with some of the other subjects that the other books deal with, but it deals with these two subjects alone. Who is Jesus and why did He come? Now, this is a subject of great dispute and great debate today, especially among the liberals and the false cults. The false cults and the liberals, of course, have denied the deity of Christ. They've denied His salvation. They've denied the sinfulness of man, which leads to salvation. And so there's a lot of controversy today in the so-called Christian world concerning some of these things. But the book of John makes it very, very clear exactly who Jesus is and why He came. And there's no mistaking the teaching of this book. So whenever there's a dispute, the important thing is to go back to the Word of God itself and study the Word of God and find out from the Word of God the truth on any subject we are debating. Now, some of your false cults bring out certain little passages. They'll pick out passages. They'll pull them out of their context. And they'll bring out these passages and then claim that these passages teach otherwise. But when you study everything in its proper context, you see the truth in all of these teachings. And the Gospel of John will bring this out. Now, I want to begin our study with the historical background of this book. I'm going to be touching on some of these things as we get into the study of the book itself, but I want to spend a couple of messages just discussing the background of the book so that we understand where John's Gospel is coming from. First of all, there's a historical background to this book, and this is very, very important. The Jewish history, of course, goes back into the Old Testament itself, back to the time of creation in the book of Genesis, and then up through Abraham, and then up through Moses and David and all of these different kings. But especially, I want to note the division of the kingdom in 1 Kings chapter 12, where the kingdom divided and the northern kingdom took one stand and the southern kingdom took another stand. In the northern kingdom, they took a stand almost entirely against God. In other words, they worshiped the golden calf. They turned to every type of foreign god and every type of foreign worship. They intermarried with the foreign peoples. And the northern kingdom turned almost entirely away from God. In the southern kingdom, for a time, they remained faithful to God. Oh, there were times of backsliding and times of turning away from God. But under certain kings like Hezekiah and Josiah and some of these others, they did return to the true worship of God. But even the southern kingdom eventually had to be carried away into captivity. And so the captivities began in 722 B.C. The Assyrians came. They came against the northern kingdom. This kingdom had been rejected by God. Their destruction had been promised by God. And this kingdom was carried away completely into captivity. And the Assyrians, of course, took them back into their own country. They killed tens of thousands of the people and carried the rest of the people away. And as they were away, They were gone for many, many years. In fact, several centuries. They were taken away into Assyria and kept there by the Assyrians and by the Babylonians who followed them. And then in 606 B.C., the southern kingdom of Judah was also attacked. Now, God had promised this after the time of Manasseh. Manasseh had been a wicked king, and even though at the end of his life he seemed to repent somewhat, God based his judgment upon the actions of Manasseh in turning the people away from God, from the worship of God, from the truth concerning God. So the Babylonians came in 606 B.C. The destruction of the temple didn't come till 586 B.C., but the Babylonians came in 606, carried away many, many of the people, appointed their own kings, and then later destroyed the temple and carried the rest of the people away except for the few who were to stay and till the land. And then following them came the Persians. There was a time in about 535 B.C. when the Persians permitted some of the Jews to return to the land and rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple. But most of the people stayed there in Persia under the Persian Empire. And of course, the Persian Empire was ruling over Judah. There never was a time, really, except for a brief time under the Maccabees, up near the time of Christ, there never was a time when they really had freedom. And then, of course, after them came the Greeks, and later, of course, the Romans. And the Romans, of course, were ruling at the time of Christ. Now, the reason I pointed out this historical background is this. Because the Jews, from the time of the carrying away of the northern kingdom and then the carrying away of the southern kingdom in 606, the Jews had never really been free from foreign domination. And this was a major concern of theirs, that they would someday have their own nation again. They would be under their own rule, their own authority. They would have power. They would have a great king. And everything would be all right as far as the southern kingdom was concerned. And so this is probably one of the reasons, and I'll be dealing with this a little bit later, probably one of the reasons why they were not concerned with the suffering Savior that God had promised in Isaiah chapter 53. First there was to be the suffering Savior, and then there was to be the ruling King. And their whole concern, their entire concern, was concerning the ruling King. And this is probably one of the reasons why they found it difficult to admit their sin and to turn to Jesus as the Savior from sin. So this background, the historical background, is very, very important. And then, of course, it's also important for us to understand the religious background of the Jewish nation. And this also goes back into the Old Testament times. Now, this religious background is important because the Jews of the day of the Lord Jesus were the ones who bitterly opposed him. And they had a background. There was a time when these various sects of the Jews were established and when the Jewish setup was complete as the Lord knew it in his time. And so these Jews, these sects of the Jews especially, were the bitter opponents of the Lord Jesus. They hated him. They tried to tear him down in every way. And it's important for us to understand where did they come from. And why is this so important in our study of the Gospel of John? And I want to just briefly touch on this as I conclude this message. We note, first of all, that in the 70 years of exile, from 606 B.C. to 536 B.C., the temple had been destroyed. And so this gave birth to the type of Orthodox Judaism that Jesus and his followers would meet in their day. And these trends that began clear back in the period of 606 to 536 B.C. would continue to grow and multiply in the centuries before the actual birth of Christ. Now, first of all, we find the establishment of the synagogues. There had never been this during the time of David or the kings before and after him. But when the Jews went into exile, the temple had been destroyed. They had no place, no valid place to worship. They were not permitted to offer sacrifices except only in the temple, which had been destroyed. And so they needed places of fellowship and places of spiritual worship. And I believe in many of the cases that these Jews in exile were sincerely seeking after God, and they were seeking to follow him. So they established the synagogues. And these were places in every town, in every place, where the Jews could fellowship together, where they could worship, and where they could share in the teachings that they remembered from the Word of God. Even if they didn't have a copy of the Old Testament scriptures, they still would remember many of the truths that God had taught them and sincerely seek after God. Now, these synagogues have great significance in the time of the Lord Jesus and in the time of the apostles who later preached the gospel after his resurrection and ascension back to heaven. So these synagogues were very, very important because they were the places in every city and every town where these apostles went, where they would go and they would preach the gospel, they would exhort the Jews, they would teach from the Old Testament and the New Testament, they would exhort the Jews to follow the Lord and to receive Him. So these synagogues were very, very important. The Lord Himself, of course, went into the synagogues in His day, and He would go there, and He would seek to teach the truth concerning Himself. And so these synagogues were in every place where the Lord Jesus Himself would minister, and also in every place where the apostles would go. They were spread throughout the Roman Empire. You could go as far as Philippi and Thessalonica and these other places, even over in Europe. And the synagogues were there, places where the Jews would gather together and where they would be under a teacher and where they would be listening to the Old Testament scriptures especially and seeking to worship God. Now, unfortunately, in the time of the apostles, many times the synagogue leaders bitterly opposed the gospel. And so they would leave the synagogues and they would go into other places to preach after they had first exhorted them in the synagogues. Now, I want to stop this message here. And I want to just leave with you a little bit of this historical background. And what I want to emphasize as we continue this in the next lesson, I want to emphasize that this historical background has much to do with the ministry of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they were still under captivity. They were still under Roman authority, and so they were not a free nation. And God's emphasis wanted them to be, emphasize the fact that the Savior had come, the one who would die on the cross for their sins. Later, they would be the ruling king, and they would be free from all foreign domination. But in the time of Christ, he was still going to be under foreign domination with a different emphasis by God upon the Savior who would save them from their sins. And of course, as we come to this further teaching, we find that this was the main issue between the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John, between the Lord Jesus and the rulers of the Jews. So we'll continue this in the next time. May the Lord bless you as you continue this study. And as you go on and follow the Lord in your own lives, trusting Him as your Savior and following Him with all your hearts, may the Lord bless you, each one.